Welcome and greetings, everybody. This is David from Denver at Helena and Zavi's. Good to be together. So Jane and I will be hosting our Wednesday service this evening, our regularly scheduled service host is Keahi, and she's busy turning on water faucets over at the ranch and just generally looking after things. So in this introduction, I want to include a very brief report on the fire. Don't have too much new news. But from what I've heard so far of today, went well. We have a red flag warning due to weather advisories up in the mountains. I do believe that the weather at the ranch has been quite moderate and winds mild and in the right direction. And we heard from Brian that the light from the forest fire kind of emanating over the back of the ridge seems much, much less than it has been. So all that's good news. The red flag warning, the last I heard, goes through tomorrow. We have Chase joining us. Thank you, Chase, for all the work you've done with Keahi and Nick, keeping Sunrise safe. So I think that's the short of it. I did notice that in a couple of areas, the mandatory evacuations were changed to voluntary, not for us at Sunrise Ranch, but for other places, I think closer over towards Horsetooth Reservoir. So up kind of north and a little bit east. So that's going on with all that. What we'd like to do today, tonight, is to play a video that Roshana created out of words that I spoke during our attunement time on Sunday. She created a very beautiful video. So if all goes well, I can get that going and share that with you. And then from there, Jane's going to share the last part of the Pulse of Spirit again from Sunday. And then we have a way of interacting with the themes of Sunday that were opened up on Sunday among us here today. So that's generally speaking what we have in mind. So with that, I'll share the video. If all goes well.
Thank you, Roshana, and thank you, David, for sharing that beautiful prayer and also sharing it tonight as we continue to hold that process. I'd like to share the last few paragraphs of this week's Pulse of Spirit. In the best of times, human culture is simply reflecting what's already happening at other levels of reality. Through their words, their expressions, and their actions, human beings are embodying what's coming back to you and to me. And we ourselves are offering our gifts to other human beings, and they're being received and cherished. Our gifts are empowering the people around us, uplifting them, inspiring them. We create noble culture as this is happening, lighting up all that we are building together. but that is in the best of times. People do not open to the heavenly emanation that is coming to them. They don't reciprocate when it is given because they haven't received it. But do you think that human culture has any ability to stop the angels from giving what is theirs to give? The ability to stop you or to stop this process? It has no ability to do so, none. The only ability the people have is to opt out or opt in. And when we see people opting out of this creativity, or even whole segments of human culture opting out, what is our job as a human being? Simply to be undistracted. Our job is to continue to participate in what is eternally true of us all. It can seem to be so easy to be distracted and opt out ourselves when we see someone else who is not receiving our gift. And we become preoccupied with that perceived lack. But look to where it is being received. Know that it is always being received somewhere, and let it flow to there. It can feel crushing when someone in our lives doesn't support us, or when someone doesn't give back in a way that reciprocates the friendship, the love, or the colleagueship in a way we might think would be appropriate. We can become preoccupied with that and fixated upon that lack. And so, in the process, we ourselves can opt out. We then participate in the culture that opts out. Never opt out, never forget, never relinquish your angelic birthright. We are here for the highest joy, which is the joy of knowing creation and the pleasure of being a creator and participating in creative activity without end. As we do, we have the opportunity to embody that in our personality and in the culture we share. What a joy to find all of you, those who read this Pulse of Spirit, and to be found by you. But if any one of us opts out, does that really change anything essential for you? It's sad. You probably wish it would be otherwise. But we know that the hope for the world is simply people who know who they are and why they're here, who are not distracted by the cult of personality that can infect the human experience. Become aware of yourself simply as a point of light. The angels near and far are loving up on you now, as always, feeding you, supporting you with the angelic light and angelic love. Focalize the light and love that is coming to you now. Let power and light pour out from you in a way that is totally relevant to this cycle of creation. Let it out. Let it shine. Return power and light back out into the cosmos through your unique focus of spirit. The name of the Pulse of Spirit is a story of light and light returning. So we're going to go into listening pairs. We're going to have 6 minutes for each person to answer these questions. And I'm going to ask us to do this differently than we normally do, which is, who's ever going to go first, ask each of these questions to the second person in a row and just let them answer. Normally, we often go into dialogue, but we'd really like the person who's answering to have a chance to be heard without interruption. And we also want you to go as deep or in whatever direction is most comfortable for you. You may feel like this is a time to take advantage of exploring the answers to these questions, and you may also want to just see what's the right level for you to share intimately with the partner you get, because we don't know who that will be. So Jim's going to put these questions in the chat, but I'll read them to you now. And again, choose who's going first and who's going second. Who's ever going first, let the other person ask these questions of you. In what ways have you questioned what you're receiving from the world recently? Question two, in what ways have you received for which you feel gratitude? Is there a way you could receive more of that? Do you think it's possible that there are wonderful things you don't receive because you aren't open to receiving them? What might those be? In light of this consideration, what do you want to have happen in the way that you receive? So Jim's going to give us a partner. And again, Let one person answer all these questions before you switch, and each person gets 6 minutes. Thank you.
Welcome back, everybody.
I hope you had enough time. I thought this was going to be a lot of time, and I could have used a few more minutes. So the question for the whole group, we have a few minutes to talk about this. What do you want to have happen in the way that you receive? Now, you might have had a chance to explore that a little bit in with your partner, but what do you want to have happen in the way that you want to receive? So I'm going to just hold space for this while you just unmute yourself and address that question. What do you want to have happen in the way that you receive?
Thank you, Jane. I'll just say that what I want to have happen is for my ability to see the perfection in what I'm receiving, to be in gratitude for what I'm receiving and therefore magnify the ability to receive that and to allow the reciprocity that occurs when I receive, that I am then cycling that gift back into the world in whatever way that might look like.
Well, I want to be in a state of mind and a state of emotion where I am willing to receive anything that comes to me. I'm no longer attempting to hold certain things off. I'm not trying to escape from anything. I'm just open to receive anything that might come, knowing that I have the power within myself, that I am so centered in love, that I am capable of handling anything that might come to me. I'm not saying that I'm totally successful in being this way right now, but this is my vision, that I can receive anything from the environment, anything that comes to me, welcoming it and using it to send out a blessing that will assist in the spiritual work that I'm doing, regenerating the body of humanity.
I would like to learn what it is more and more to be open, to know my own power, not to be overwhelmed or distracted, to be present. And in that presence, I would love to see with clarity, accept what I see, and open up so that my thinking before my acting is of a higher order and capable of representing a higher consciousness, a higher spirit, so that I can see all that's involved and see how I might be a blessing.
Through the discussion, I realized how much I restrict the flow of receiving and giving. And so I would like just to be a clear conduit, just allowing and not judging or shutting, you know, pinching the hose, you know, at 20 different places for various reasons, just to be open to let it flow.
Having no expectations about how anybody else should be or how any circumstance should be, to be totally open, accepting, because I'm not concerned about the horizontal, but more with the vertical. That's my vision of possibility and attainment.
I just say, seeing the beauty in what is coming to me and relaxing and enjoying it. Just focusing on that and letting it be nourished and expand.
I guess if there's anything I'd like, be to be more curious about the possibilities that are coming to me, so that I play them out a little bit and am not too hasty. Thank you.
Well, the receiving and giving back are things that always are in motion. They are always playing that aspect. So what we see and what I'm receiving should be how I stand in that place of balance and how I allow that so that it creates something which is not going too much of one side or the other side, but creating something that now in the world we see, it is what comes from ourselves. But we are different now because we are able to stand in that position to see that we give forth something which is of a blessing. And that's how I look at it.
Did I get to the point where anything that comes to me is a gift from God? And the person is too.
At the strictly practical level, I get a lot of invitations. Probably all of us do. Some are clear-cut yeses. Some are clear-cut, they don't belong. But the maybes, you know, being able to discern. Being able to discern if I really should, if that would lead to a golden pathway vibrationally. But I'm just shutting it out due to feeling I don't have time. And at the other end, am I going to something I don't really need to out of guilt or out of a sense of what would they think if I didn't go? Really cleaning and clearing those vibrational avenues so that what I receive is what's meant to be received and what's fruitful in the heavenly way.
Thanks, Tom. I want to just go back to, I know the question on the floor is, what do you want to have happen in the way you receive? But I want to go back to the third question. Do you think it's possible that there are wonderful things you don't receive because you aren't open to receiving them? I want to say, yeah. And I want to get better at not just like spiritually saying everything that comes is a gift that I should just take it. There's, you know, in all things give thanks, there's a certain clicheness to that that has stopped me from seeing the wonderful things that are coming that I've not been open to, because I don't realize that these wonderful gifts are coming regularly in ways that maybe don't seem wonderful because I have judged them, and I'm willing to take a look closely at my judgments, but also in to be in the experience of, it's wonderful that I can breathe even though there's smoke outside. It's wonderful that I have a warm home. These are the obvious ones, but what about the fact that it's wonderful that someone cares about you and shows it in a certain way? Or it's wonderful that I am still eating tomatoes and have enough probably for another 2 months. There are wonderful things that constantly are coming that I'm naming the obvious ones, but if I have been, have I felt unworthy? Have I felt that I got to get things in order before I can receive the cornucopia of wonderful things that are being aimed in my direction? I really want to change that that limitation in my own thinking so that I am paying attention and possibly turning in every direction to look at, what am I not seeing? What have I habitually kept at bay?
Thanks, Jane, and thanks, everybody. Good to be in this consideration with you. I'm going to see what I can do to take it a little further. I want to start with this. I think it was anybody remember Hill Street Blues? It was an American police story. So it took a police station and just told the stories of the police station. And when the sergeant would send the police officers out for the day, he'd end his little talk, his little pep talk with this. He'd say, "And hey, be careful out there." something like that. But I just, I'm thinking of that because in so many ways, the world we're in is a jungle. And not everything we do receive or not everything is happening is so nice. And so, you know, if I think about this year I had, if I could count my travails, like early in the year, I found out somebody was just being plain old mean to me, like for no real good reason, as far as I could tell, they just wanted to hurt me. You know, it's like, wow, that was just a thing to realize. And then of course there was the pandemic. Then there's the lunacy for American politics. And the impact of all that on Sunrise, you know, at some levels is, you know, really affected our year. And then it was like, if that wasn't enough, here at the end of the year, you know, it's like a kick in the groin. How about a forest fire? So here we are, where there's something cosmic happening, which I portrayed in that story I told on Sunday. And at the same time, we're in the jungle of the world. And in some ways, we're called upon at times to be ninjas of the world so that we eschew the mess as best as possible. And we work out the most propitious outcome for the world in which we live. And we're called upon to make the most out of things that are going all kinds of different directions, honestly. And some of them relate to nature, like the forest fire and the pandemic, but even with those things, human beings have a lot to do with them. And some things like the politics of the world in this situation I mentioned for me earlier in the year, some of those are very much directly human related. They're just related to human behavior. So here we are, called upon to be in that and at the same time receive and give and then preserve a pure spiritual experience. Not only preserve it, but live into it and magnify it. So yeah, we're in some way called to be both ninjas in the world and then spiritual savants, if you will. But people who are just more and more leaning into drinking up their experience spiritually. I was pointing on Sunday to this key factor in that spiritual experience, which is our ability to receive. Because if all's happening in your life is you're being a ninja in the world, where in that are you stopping long enough and opening up your capacity to receive what's yours to receive from whoever it might be? And then that includes from people and from the world itself. And it includes a far larger range, far larger scope of divinity, that we're receiving something all the time, but we have to be open to receive it and to bring it in. I think it was at the men's meeting I was talking about the one law. So, but especially us longer time emissaries, but you know, we try to indoctrinate even those of you who have not been around too long in the working of the one law. So maybe we can all repeat it. You know, the working of the one law is radiation, response, attraction, union, and unified radiation. That wasn't something Yironda invented, although he originated that expression of it. It is the story of the torus. You know, something goes out and something comes back. It's a universal law, the law of karma. So I was thinking about it as in Yironda's expression of it, his articulation of it. So it goes from radiation and then response. And it occurred to me that there's a micro step in the middle there that we don't always talk about that much, although he did. I just read part of a service where he was really talking about how much is received and how little actually is received of what's available for us to receive. So he did talk about it. But there is this micro step of receiving. And I don't care what spiritual tradition it is, I think they all have in common a teaching about receiving. Because if you don't receive, if you don't have the ability to receive, all the rest is not on. Like, okay, there's radiation, no reception, and then response, right? Well, that doesn't happen. You don't respond if you don't receive. You have to take it in to respond to it. So there's that micro step of reception. And so without it, it doesn't happen as far as I can tell. I can't imagine how it could. And also with it, it is almost inexorable that you do respond. I suppose you could cut it off right there. Maybe somebody could, like really, really receive. You really receive a deep spiritual gift, and then you come in and you cut it off and you don't respond. I suppose it's possible, but it strikes me as highly unlikely. If you let it in deeply, it evokes this urgent, inexorable, unstoppable response, does it not? It moves you if you let it in. It just, boom, it just lands in your soul. And then your whole soul gets activated. So it just strikes me that for response to be there, the reception is so important. And then all the rest, unless at some point we just cut it off, but all the rest will follow its natural course if we allow it to, from the point of reception. So if we assume that the radiation is a given, right? There's not a time the sun stops shining or the angels stop loving us. It's always coming to us. So that's a given. The key factor is, are we tuned in? Are we receiving it? And then do we allow what happens so easily and naturally after that? You've got to stay with the process. So you have to let yourself respond. You have to let yourself be attracted. It's very natural, but you've got to let it happen. And then you have to embrace and become one with the radiation so that you're not just pinning it on somebody else, or you're not just pinning it on God by whatever name. You know, God is radiant and I'm a poor human being. You have to finally accept that that's who I am. I am that I am. I am that being. That's me. And then as that being, I am radiating with all of being, unified radiation. I suppose it's possible, I'm quite sure it is, to cut that off at any point. But the power is in it from the point of reception. So it just seems to me that in the middle of being warriors in the world, we have to learn to receive. And I don't care how young you are, I don't care how old you are, I don't care how long you've been on a spiritual path or what spiritual path it is. Still, it comes down to there is something great to receive for each of us always, something to open to. And people can help us open, but ultimately that opening is up to us to find it, to take it in, to be grateful for it. It is also something to think about as teachers, as educators. You know, you can hope and pray somebody gets the truth. No, particularly, well, truth at every level. So all educators are interested in their students knowing the truth. But particularly spiritual teachers, how do we help the people that we're teaching? We help them receive. Isn't that really, you know, for any of us who are doing some spiritual teaching, we got to create a situation where they can receive, realizing that they're holding it back. They are, like most human beings, are holding off what's there for them. And so we have to trick the person to let down their defenses long enough, show them where the water is coming from, and then guide them into opening, teaching them how to receive and let it in. And if you can do that, it's a wondrous thing. And the person looks at you with eyes wide open and just wonders, like, how did that happen? And then you've set in motion for that person something wondrous. So anyway, those are some of my thoughts on this. This Wednesday night was so much afoot. And Wednesday night when, you know, we've been having these deep thoughts, if you will, and rightly so, and facing some very practical things and in very practical ways of being a warrior in the world. You know, it's all part of our journey here. But I think the part that can get left out, which ends up being lethal, is the receiving part. In this paper I just read of Yoronda's, he lamented that he figured human beings are receiving about 10% of what's there for them to receive. That was the number he put on it. So I want to take these last few minutes for whatever interchange we might like to have, whatever dialogue about the nature of receiving, how we learn to teach ourselves to receive what is ours to receive.
I believe that having an open heart, a clear heart, a loving heart, is very easy to receive when that is our state of mind. And also, I believe that when we offer something of a spiritual nature or fundamental truth to somebody, if we enfold it with love, the person, as a rule, feels attracted by it. So there's this natural exchange that's present for the person to just welcome it in without judging it, because the power of love that's being present in our expression in those moments is overwhelming to most human mind and even sometimes to our own. So thank you.
Come on, people. I know some of you know a lot about letting it in. What does it take to really let it in? To really open yourself, really receive, let it in.
That is compelling, David. I think what I've learned is to stay neutral, to not go too far to one side or the other, stay neutral so that you can be in a state of grace. And when the chaos comes to you, you send it back out as peace. Middle path.
I think it's the blocks to receiving. I have to be aware of what is in the way to keep me from receiving and being present to the blocks. And we like to use the phrase, the key that locks the door is the same key that opens the door. Thank you.
Beautiful.
What I was going to say was that one of my favorite prayers that I really appreciate my ability to know and understand is that may we continue to be nourished so that we may continue to bless in the world. And I know that I don't have the ability to bless the world with nothing that I'm not able to receive, and to receive audaciously and joyously and fully activate what it means to feel blessed, to feel bestowed, to feel cherished in that way, so that I can give that like unabashedly into my world. And there's this song that I really love listening to. It's by a woman named Fia, and it's called Yes and More Please. And she says, I am ready to receive all that love, all the love that's given me, because I know that I am worthy. Yes and more please. And then she goes on to say that she's so done with playing small, because I know that I am made of stars, and I know that I'm the love that I'm looking for, and that my heart is my home. And just knowing these bits of words, and knowing these bits of truth, and at a visceral cellular level, I am worthy, yes, and more, please. Thank you so much. Like, even if it just sounds so crazy, like that I can have more than what this is right now. Yes, please, and thank you. And how can I radiate that into the world and give it all the way? Because I know when I'm done with this life, I don't want to drop a life left in me. And the only way to do that is to give. And I can't give anything that I haven't fully received yet, because otherwise it's fake.
Beautiful. I think Phyllis was trying to get in there.
Yes, and I would just, I have the same feeling as Rachel, that feeling of, and as long as my heart's open, that abundance just flows for me. And what do I do with it? I just give deep thanks and bless everything in sight in my world. And it's just like celebration. And, but I love how Rachel put it, because it was very poetic. But I agree that flow is there to be given out, to be spoken, to be thankful to the angels for providing that, or are stirring that in me, so that I can also bless all those around me when I'm in this state. Thank you.
Beautiful fellows.
I have a mantra. It's I love my life, and I am an excellent receiver. And I just recite those to myself all the time to remind myself, like, how abundant life is if those perspectives are in place.
Yes, life is abundance.
I'd like to just add something, and that is, in light of what Rachel and Phyllis and other people have said, that this has been a divine opportunity to learn to be a gracious recipient of such gracious love that Dorian and I have been receiving here at Jane's. It's so heart-fulfilling to receive this kind of graciousness from a heart-open person. And it is giving me an opportunity to learn to not be uncomfortable with it, but to learn to be a gracious receiver as well.
There's a circularness to something that I feel is happening today, both the giving and the receiving, reciprocity, I guess you'd say, and the magic that there is a seamlessness about that in reality when there's a balance here of the giving and receiving and the flow and the outward and then the inward and the coming and the going. It's actually exceedingly radiant. And I agree, this particular time has shown that the ability to receive the graciousness and the ability in that biggerness of that in the cycle to give back, to receive and to give back in depth.
Thank you, Diana. So, and thank you, Jane, for hosting the evening with me and for hosting people at your house. I want to close with two things. First of all, here's a way you can drink it in. Crack open the third sacred school. Spend some time with it. Read those heart-opening, mind-blowing messages, powerful, powerful messages that bring the carrier wave of truth so reliably. Anybody who's a member of Emissaries of Divine Light, you get to go in there and go through the table of contents, search on keywords, you know, wow. Amazing, amazing resource. So there's a way to drink it in. Here's something I'd like to close with. I'm gonna get biblical on you. So this is the opening verses of Isaiah chapter 60. See where this goes for you. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy shining. Lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy son shall come from afar, and thy daughter shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. Any of that sound familiar as describing what's happening today in those terms? Anyway, thanks for being here tonight. Thanks for all we've shared. Thanks for together creating an opening where something could be received by us together and each one of us, and then carried into the world. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.
Thank you, David and Jane, and everyone.
Good night, y'all.
Thank you.
Much love.
Thank you. Night.
Good night. And good morning.
Thank you.
Good morning, Christine and Ruth.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Jane.
Goodbye, my man Samuel.
Yeah.